Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast, your source for all things Alabama basketball. I'm your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated of the Rivals Network. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24, where you'll find nothing but Alabama basketball news and a little bit of Atlanta Braves, Dallas Mavericks, and Colorado Avalanche as well. But let's get right into it. This is becoming a very, very busy time for not only Alabama basketball, but college basketball in general. You're having where the NBA draft early entrant application deadline just passed last night at 11:59. We'll hop into that since there is one player in particular that needs to be discussed regarding that for Alabama's team. And you also have the transfer portal deadline coming up May the 1st, which I'm recording this at 10:30 p.m. Central Time on April 28th. So you've got 3 days, essentially. Not even three full days, but coming up really quick for those that have to enter the transfer portal for next season. And that includes grad transfers as well. Kind of a little bit breaking news that people might have overlooked a few days ago, but in the literature for the transfer portal deadline rules, grad transfers are now included in that hard deadline where the transfer portal closes for eligibility next season. So that, I think that's a great thing. It's definitely great just because before grad transfers were seniors who have already graduated, could transfer at any time before the season next year, before the start of the season. And that, in my opinion, I did not like that because another player could really screw over their program really late in the season, in the summer, and that program could not replace said player. And then you have guys that are already on the team for another program that are getting a player 2 months before the season next year and kind of screwing them over too. So you're not going to have any of that drama late in the off season before next season. And it's going to put everybody into the same, kind of pretty much the same bucket in terms of what deadline they are associated with to enter the portal. So you have that coming up on May the 1st. You had the early entrant application deadline just passed last night. And then near the end of May, you're going to have the withdrawal date for those that are already entered into the draft process for them to pull their name out and keep their college eligibility. Because if they wait past that deadline, they have to go through with the NBA draft process and they cannot return to their school. So, kind of a wrap up there with what's to come and what's at stake coming up in terms of deadlines. But let's kind of talk about Alabama's roster, where it stands now. So in the last episode, if you remember, I went over Aiden Holloway, who is the big transfer from Auburn, the point guard transfer that committed to Alabama last weekend. You also had guys like Sam Walters and Nick Pringle transfer. Just kind of an update. Rylan Griffin, who transferred out of Alabama, ended up committing to Kansas, which for those that have followed that situation, comes as no surprise. Kansas has been after Rylan for the last year or so, trying to get him to leave Alabama, reportedly. It's nothing that you can really confirm, but just kind of back-channeling, that's kind of where things have gone, to where Kansas was really pushing Rylan to leave Alabama and come and play for them. So he ends up committing to Kansas. You had Sam Walters commit to play at Michigan, which is kind of surprising. You saw that he took a visit to Michigan and Ohio State pretty much in the same weekend, looked like, based on his Instagram pictures, which kind of surprised me. I thought that he would go to a fairly bigger school, a Power Five type school, but like kind of a lower Power Five. But going into the Big Ten, especially a place like Michigan, there's going to be a lot of expectations, especially with Dusty May taking over, coming from Florida Atlantic to take over at Michigan. And he's building a team of nothing but transfers, which typically in this time, in this era, when you have a coaching change, that's going to happen. You're going to see majority of the team transfer out, and the new coach is going to have to really work the portal to fill a roster. So great decision for Sam. If he can get in at Michigan, it's a great place to go. I don't know how he's going to do in the Big Ten against some of those larger power forwards, the threes and the fours that he's going to have to go up against, but there's definitely no doubt that he can shoot the ball with the best of them. So, you know, best of luck to Sam in that endeavor. And finally, Nick Pringle announced, I believe it was yesterday, that he's committed to South Carolina, which shouldn't come as any surprise to anybody that knows Nick. He is originally from Brentbrook, South Carolina, and he's just basically going back home playing for Lamont Paris. And he took a visit to Kansas State during the process and then went to South Carolina, and he did not make it off his visit with South Carolina before eventually committing. So he goes back home, plays for South Carolina. You have Sam Walters going to Michigan, and then Rylan Griffin going to Kansas. You also had Davin Cosby that went to Wake Forest as well. So now that we're kind of caught up on the guys that have left campus or left Alabama to go elsewhere, let's get you updated on a recent commit today that Alabama had. LeBaron Fylon, number 6 ranked point guard in the country for the 2024 class, according to Rivals. He's a top 40 player in America. Former 5-star on Rivals, I believe. I believe he was at one point a back-end 5-star, like a low-rated 5-star for Rivals and a top 5 point guard. But ultimately, he ends up at number 37, number 6 ranked point guard in America. Stands 6'4", 177 pounds. He's more of a combo guard, if you ask me. And the reason being is because he can play the lead guard. But at the Power 5 level, I don't see him as a strict lead guard type player like someone like Aiden Holloway will be. Aiden can play the 2. He's just kind of a slightly undersized 2. But LeBaron has the size where he can play the 2 very comfortably, and he's a good enough outside shooter to do it as well. He averaged over 40% from 3 when his last season at Baker High School a couple years ago. Now, he was at Baker High School, which located now down near Mobile, and for his senior season, he ended up transferring to Link Academy out in Branson, Missouri. And that's where he really took a leap from his junior year to his senior year, and kind of what got Alabama's attention ultimately. Because LeBaron was someone that has wanted to play at Alabama, but it seemed like Alabama was always recruiting over him, going after guys such as Jace Richardson or a Boogie Fland, those type of players. Which rightfully so, those guys are elite players as well. But LeBaron's always been a fan of Alabama, and he's always really liked how Nate Oates runs his system, runs his program, and just a big fan of them in general. But he ended up committing to Auburn originally. And a big reason why was Wes Flanagan, who was his lead recruiter, who ultimately ended up leaving to go to Ole Miss, where his son ultimately ended up following him as well last year, Alan Flanagan. And that caused LeBaron to decommit right away once Wes Flanagan left. People wondered if he would end up committing to Alabama shortly after that, myself included. I was very intrigued by that. But he ended up committing to Kansas last September. And with him committing to Kansas last September, it came as kind of a surprise to everyone, particularly me. I wasn't sure that he was ready for that level because, yes, I put Kansas above where Alabama and Auburn are in terms of basketball prestige. Obviously, they're a blue blood. So when you see him going to Kansas, you're like, oh, okay. But Branson, Missouri, right near Kansas, Lawrence, Kansas, they got to see him a pretty good bit. So they felt comfortable offering him. And when LeBaron got that offer, he committed pretty quick right after because he visited last September, which is when he committed as well. So it didn't take much for LeBaron to be sold to go play for Bill Self at Kansas. So you had him committed to Kansas. He signed his LOI this past November. And the last month or so, you kind of heard rumblings that LeBaron was looking to get out of his NLI because once you see the transfer portal and you see some guys that they start signing, like Riley Kugel, who is the transfer from Florida, you have A.J. Storr, the transfer from Wisconsin, and then you have Rylan Griffin that transfers in from Alabama, you start seeing all these guards that they're starting to recruit over him. And I don't think that he expected to come in and start or play heavy minutes right away at Kansas. But some of these guys are young guys, such as Kugel and Griffin, who will be at Kansas more than likely multiple years. So when you have that happening, and then you see a place like Alabama that potentially could get Mark Sears back, they just signed or just got a commitment from Aiden Holloway to transfer in. You know that they have a couple spots open right now that they're holding. And I believe that he wanted to see what was else was out there. And then when he decided to request his release of his NLI, you know, during this era, you know there's tampering going on. You know there's teams talking to other guys that are signed or already with their team, you know, whether it be 1 or 2 years or more than that with their program, there's obviously tampering going on. And that's not going to stop until the NCAA puts some kind of regulations on these types of contacts. So I am sure that LeBaron's camp was in contact with people affiliated with Alabama in terms of checking interest and seeing those types of things. I'm not oblivious to that. I don't think anybody is. So I can definitely see something like that happening. And LeBaron, you know, there might have been mutual interest, and he saw that. So he's like, well, let's go take a chance on this, or let's go see if other places such as, you know, not saying Ole Miss would have gotten involved again, but there are rumors that Baylor potentially could have gotten involved. Auburn might have tried to hop back in there with LeBaron. He would have had a lot of high major interest from places that he might could get some more reasonable playing time in the next, you know, year or so. So LeBaron ends up going to the place that he's been wanting to go for quite some time. What does that mean for Alabama's roster? Well, you look at it up and down. If you want to count Mark Sears as part of the roster, fine. I understand. I haven't been on Twitter. I haven't been including him in my roster breakdowns just because I'm not going to include him until he says he's 100% back. Because if I see that you declare for the NBA draft, that's where your focus is. So I'm going to assume you're gone until you're not. And you can always come back and, you know, add you back later. But let's kind of go through the roster in terms of positions and kind of discuss where Filon falls into this, particularly in the backcourt, because he's going to be playing the one or the two spot. So you looking at the one, take Mark Sears out of it. Obviously, he's the starting point guard if he comes back. You've got Aiden Holloway, going to be a sophomore at the point guard position. And then at the two spot, you've got Latrell Reitzel, You've got Chris Youngblood. You've got Houston Millett. If you want to count Naz Cunningham in there, fine. But I don't expect Naz Cunningham to play the two very much. But he's a guy that you can throw in there as well. So there's really not as much depth as you might think for those two spots. You've got those three upperclassmen in Latrell, Houston, and Chris. Plus, Mark Sears, if he comes back, that's four seniors to be. Four. And then you have a sophomore in Aiden Holloway. And then you have LeBaron Filon come in. So that's six guys for two spots, four of which are going to be gone after this upcoming year, assuming Mark Sears comes back. So that's going to open up plenty of opportunity for LeBaron Filon and Aiden Holloway next year. And I think that's what LeBaron sees. And I think that he really likes the thought of that. Now, obviously, things can change if he comes in and he just doesn't do as well as anticipated. And Alabama ends up recruiting over him next year in the portal, depending on who enters and whatever happens in that regard. But LeBaron sees the opportunity to potentially have a big-time role next season with a backcourt of LeBaron Filon and Aiden Holloway. That's about as high of an upside backcourt as you can get. So I don't blame him for coming to Alabama, taking his chance at the place that he's been wanting to be for the past couple years. And he's going to be a guy that has huge upside for someone that averaged 35 points per game his junior year at Baker High School, who was a really good basketball program and was in a tough classification in Alabama High School. I saw him at the Huntsville Times Classic, and I saw him play teams that are really good, especially my alma mater, Haleville, 2 years ago, and he put, I believe, a 40-piece on him, and Haleville was a really good program. Made the Final Four a couple years ago and just hung 40 like it was nothing. He's super talented. He's an extremely gifted scorer and someone that can evolve his game into being a more of a lead guard as well, but he's gotten stronger. He's gotten tougher at Link Academy this past year, and he's made that leap to where Nate Oates and staff feel comfortable taking him into on their roster this upcoming year. Now, I mentioned before at the Open that there were some more deadlines to keep an eye on, and one of those being the NBA draft early entrant application deadline, where you have to apply to declare for the NBA draft before last night at midnight. Now, Mark Sears has already put in his papers. He's already declared. He's going through that process right now. The other player that has had Alabama fans, coaches, and the NBA industry's attention is, will Grant Nelson declare? Well, he went all day yesterday and the days leading up without making a formal announcement. Now, that does not mean that he didn't file his papers. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that he never made the formal announcement, but you're not going to know until Monday, probably around noontime, when the actual list comes out of those that submitted the paperwork and declared. If you don't see his name on that list, then that lets you know that he didn't declare and he will be returning for his final year of eligibility, presumably at Alabama. Now, you could find or see an announcement, either video or post by Alabama's basketball Twitter page or social media, or maybe Grant himself tomorrow before that list comes out, that he is returning or declaring. But I think everybody kind of has the idea that Grant will be returning next season to play his final year of college eligibility at Alabama. And I'm here to tell you that that is indeed what's going to happen. And that's a huge piece for Alabama to get Grant Nelson back. The big thing is that obviously getting him back from a talent perspective as well as a positional perspective of having someone like him come back and play hopefully the four full time, as long as Alabama can land a true big man or a true five man out of the portal, which we'll get into that here in a second. But Grant Nelson coming back is going to be huge, especially for his development. I think he has another step he can take and get to another level, even at his age, and to be a fifth-year senior. He has some untapped potential just because of where he came from, North Dakota State. He's someone that, you know, while North Dakota State, he was a really good player, he didn't get the coaching there that he gets at Alabama. And last year I felt like he was stunted in his growth because he was asked to play out of position primarily most of the year, where he played the five spot a lot instead of the four. And he's a true four man. Now, I thought he did an admirable job playing the five, asked to guard some guys like Tolu Smith and Omar Ballow and, you know, Armando Baycott. You have guys like that where he was just outmatched physically. But he battled his tail off and did exactly what the coaching staff asked of him, and that's all you can ask for a guy like that. But if you give him a full season, another full season of off-season shooting, strength and conditioning, I feel like he can take it to a new level. Now, a lot of that depends on Alabama finding their starting five-man in the portal, but Grant Nelson is going to be a huge boost for Alabama coming back, especially if they can get Mark Sears back as well. That is a huge boost. That's a potential top three preseason ranking or roster going into next season, which is truly remarkable. Now, I mentioned the five spot, the center position, which is a huge, huge void going into next season. And it's really one that where people are looking to rank Alabama, they want to see that Alabama is going to have that type of guy, a high-level player at the five spot. And one guy in particular, Cliff Amore, the 7-foot transfer from Rutgers, who has already taken visits to Georgetown, has already taken a visit to Kansas State this past week. I believe he took a visit to St. John's earlier in this process. He's a guy that Alabama fans have been waiting on to visit to see if they could lock him down. And he is on his visit right now at Alabama. No idea how long this visit's going to last, but this is the chance that Alabama can lock him down. Now, a lot of what Cliff is asking for is money. Obviously, fit and, you know, how good the team is or how good the program, he wants to win. All of that's factored in. But from what I've gathered from talking to people, money is going to be a big thing with Cliff. Will Alabama pay what he's wanting, which is what I've been told is upwards to $1 million next season? Alabama's not going to pay that much. They'll come down some, and they'll pay a lot for them. But it's if they can find that happy balance to where Cliff's okay with it, Alabama is, and will he pull the trigger on signing with Alabama or transferring to Alabama, I should say. I'm not sure. I'm very, very uncertain on how this is going to play out. And I think he will get an answer probably in the next day or so what he does. So keep an eye out on him. There's another guy that, you know, Alabama reached out to in the past week or so, Ugonna Yowenzo, 7'1", big man, going to be a sophomore transfer from Kentucky, who averaged nearly 3 blocks a game and only 16 minutes per game last year. Huge, huge upside for him. Huge. Not as skilled offensively as Cliff Amore is, but defensively, he might be even better. And he's got a lot of untapped potential as well. So you get him another year of college coaching under his belt. He could definitely be a guy that takes that next leap with more minutes next year. So you've got Cliff Amore, you've got Ugonna Uwenzo. They've been linked to Jonas Adu, but I'm here to tell you that they are not involved with him, the big man transfer from Tennessee. But those seem like the two guys that Alabama's targeting in terms of big men. So you already broke down the backcourt and kind of how that's shaping out. Let's look at the front court. At the 3-4-5 position, you're going to have guys like Darion Reed, five-star freshman coming in. Jaron Stevenson, who was a five-star freshman last year, that's still going to be there. Grant Nelson, who's going to come back for his fifth year, who's going to start at the four spot. You've got Aiden Sherrill, five-star freshman coming in, probably going to be the backup five. You've got guys like Mo Diabate, who was here last year. You've got Naz Cunningham, former number one overall player in the country, now ranked around 50, coming in as well. That'll play probably the three spot. You've got a loaded roster that could potentially play 10, 11, 12 guys decent minutes. Now, he's probably going to want to cut it. Nate Oates is wanting to cut it down to around 10, probably by conference play or so. But even then, Alabama's going to have a loaded roster next season. So, in conclusion, what you're going to be looking for? What's Cliff Amore going to do? Will he commit to Alabama? If so, with Grant Nelson coming back, and if Mark Sears comes back, they could potentially battle for the number one preseason spot in the country next season with their roster. Even if they don't land Cliff Amore and they land Ugonna Uwenzo or someone like that, they're going to be a top five team in the country. Now, a lot of this relies on Mark Sears, who I think will end up coming back in the end. But they're still going to have a top 10 roster regardless, upwards up to top three or maybe even number one. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. I appreciate everyone listening. Please like and subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you listen to it on. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24. Again, my name is Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated, and your host for the past 5 years of the Double Dribble Podcast. And until next time, probably record another one next weekend. Hopefully we'll have some more news, another commitment maybe, potentially a five-man committing to Alabama. But until next time, this is another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. Adios.